gonna lift this turn in the lines of mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of mine.
Chapter 59. How'd you know? The Earthbender demanded. At least Toph had waited until they were in town and Aang was distracted, Sokka thought, looking down at the small fist gripping his tunic. He tried to pry her loose. No good. Toph was in the mood to be sticky as a sandspur. Know what?
What Shidan is?
Oh. Hey, we met Timul.
Kind of a graphic demonstration of your average everyday kill-it-with-fire dragon child.
Toph cocked her head, listening. You know about dragon children? Yeah. Timul kind of... Sokka's brain caught up with his mouth. Wait a minute. How do you know about them? Toph shrugged. Girl talk with Teruko. Okay. That just boggled the mind. Toph and Girl Talk just did not belong in the same universe. Then again, neither did Fire Navy Marine Teruko. Anybody with a temper and nails like that? Oh.
Briefly, Sokka harbored a fantasy of zipping back in time and thunking a few people on that beach over the head, himself included. There had to be some kind of spirit who could pull it off.
So, Teruko was a dragon child, and she'd taken Zuko under her protection when he'd broken loyalty. No ifs, ands, or buts. Which, given what Sokka knew from Timul, almost guaranteed she saw him as her clan, even though they'd never met before. So, Teruko knew what he was, and she and Toph were talking. You knew what Zuko was all this time? And man... Zuko actually made sense now. Nobody human tracked down a guy across the whole world because their dad said so. Hey, his business, not yours, Toph shot back. You heard what Aang said about Shidan. He doesn't even get that dragons are people.
Which Shidan?
Sokka almost asked. Because there were two Shidans in this mess, both from Byakko... Shidan of Byakko, Zuko's grandfather.
Mommy.
Uneasy, Toph let go. Sokka? Sokka swallowed and glanced at the old swordsman, questioning a noodle seller on the other side of the street.
The old dragon. Tell me nobody's selling barbecue sauce.
For once, Toph didn't look sure of herself. Figured it out, huh?
Having a hard time believing it, but... yeah.
Whoa. I hope Appa stays out of sight, just because he's smaller right now. Appa still smells like lunch.
Sokka!
Toph punched him in the arm.
He knows Appa. Think about it.
Oh, right. Weird.
Relax, snoozles.
Toph started walking again. He said what he's after, and it's not us. Sokka made his feet move.
Dragon! Walking right in the middle of people who'd kill him if Ozai knew what he was. Gah!
Well, now he knew where Zuko got his guts. So... Ozai's got a shoot-to-kill order on his wife's father, and he doesn't even know about it. Sokka shook his head, trying to rattle loose aching thoughts.
That explains so much about Crazy Blue Fire.
Yeah, at least all my parents want to do is kidnap me.
Right. When had their lives gotten so weird? Wonder if he knows anything about telling ghosts you don't need to get your butt kicked every night.
Toph poked him. You're talking to ghosts? Just one? Sokka stammered, before he could think about it.
Gah, could you not ask? She says she's fine on the whole revenge on Aang thing, but I don't know if Aang is. And you don't want Katara mad at you for sneaking off with another ghost girl behind Yue's back. And I definitely don't want Katara mad at me, Sokka started, blinked. Ew, Toph, Timul's not a girl. Maybe he should hope something knocked him out before he spilled any other big secrets. Timul, Toph grinned. And she's not grinding Aang into the dirt? That's got to bite. She bounced on as she walked. How bad does she flatten you? Can we not talk about this in town? Sokka asked, keeping his voice low. It's kind of complicated. He looked ahead, where Aang had just caught up with a nervous-looking porter. And I think Aang found something. Old Man Ding, Sokka sorted out of Aang's chatter, and the porter's wary, sunset-eyeing replies. So somebody does know something. I wonder what kind of spirit we're up against this time. I didn't know spirits made prisons. They don't. Toph shivered as she bent another set of chains loose from stone. She Dun's low growl still rumbling through her ears. Way easier to listen to that, with all its promise of teeth and flames, than to the horror her feet were showing her. Starved victims sinking to the floor as she loosened their chains. Groaning, bone-broken men, weeping women, a few kids too frightened to even cry. And the smells, the awful, throat-clogging stink that told her she did not want to go any farther back in the cavern.
He told me, get Lady Bei Fong some fresh air.
Yes, Lord Shidan. Toph almost growled at the shivering lady, ex-prisoner or not. I'm not running away. I want to run away. Hitomi's voice quavered a little as she wove on tender feet toward the cave entrance. Lord Shidan's been on battlefields before. He can do this. Aw, heck. Maybe it wasn't Lady Bei Fong Shidan wanted out of this hell pit. He told me it was shaking like Twinkle Toes after a pot of double-brewed tea. Give the lady some credit, though. She got out into open air before she curled up in a ball and started crying. Toph nibbled her lip and patted Hitomi on one ragged shoulder. Hey, it's gonna be okay. No air, only stone. I couldn't breathe. Okay, that was a little weird. Lots of air out here, Toph pointed out. A whole sky full of it. See? She sucked in a noisy breath, blew it back out like Aang making a funny face. Plenty of fluttery heartbeats, quick breaths that somehow took in more air than anybody should be able to breathe. A light weight on the ground, lighter than even a month of short rations should leave someone that tall. Like even Hitomi's bones weren't heavy enough. She'd only ever felt one other person like that. You're a Yamabushi. Hitomi went rigid. No, it's okay, Toph said quickly, grabbing one of Hitomi's hands and put it on her back so the lady could feel her breathe. I know Teruko. She's a marine on Captain G's ship. Now she's looking after Sparky. Shidan's grandson. You know, Zuko. You know the prince? Hitomi's heartbeat slowed a little. I thought, all the reports say you're the Avatar's teacher. Oof. They were getting into where things got complicated. I'm Aang's teacher, Toph agreed. Earthbending. And I'm gonna help him stop the war. So Ozai's going down. She grinned. But Sparky and I broke up a Dai Li prison together. He's okay. You broke up a... Reluctantly, Hitomi started to laugh. So, we good? Toph shrugged. Because Aang's gonna love talking to another airbender. I'm not an airbender! Toph poked herself in the side of her head. Nope, nothing rattling loose. But you're a Yamabushi. We're not all... He's a temple child. You can't tell him. Hyperventilating, Hitomi cut herself off, gulped, and deliberately held her breath. Not an airbender? Toph shook her head. Aang said all the air nomads were airbenders. Hitomi let air rush out and started breathing again. Don't tell him. A temple child, the danger. I'll lie if you tell him. Whoa. Toph's toes cringed from that fierce truth. Okay, I got it. You're a merchant. But why? Aang wouldn't hurt somebody he's got stuff in common with. So long as Monk Aang lives, the temple lives, Hitomi stated. The elders were talking to Monk Gyatso before the war, but his apprentice wasn't old enough to find his way. We aren't to speak of the morning wind until he is. His way? Toph frowned. It's important, Hitomi said carefully. When you're old enough to ask questions and think of your own answers. She shifted her head, probably looking aside. I'm sorry, I can't explain any farther. Got that right. She hadn't explained. But at least Hitomi wasn't shaking anymore. You don't want to walk on those, Toph said bluntly. She'd felt every little wince as the merchant had scrambled out of the cave. It made her feet cringe all the way to her spine. The skin was whole, but the muscles under it... Ow! How had Hama done that? Not asking? I don't want to know. If we get the kids out, can you look after them? Of course, but... Good. Toph cupped her hands around her mouth. Tell him to hang on to something, Grandpa. I'm bringing everybody out. Deep breath. Plant one foot. Reach out. Reach into the mountain. Like locking onto the wrist and arm of a guy about to go splat. And gank. Earth roared. He told me, meeped. Toph smirked, feeling all those warm, scared, living people up on the surface again. First, she'd bust up Hama's fun spot. Then she'd bust up Hama. Yeah, I am so cool. You called Lord Shidan Grandpa. Airbenders. Never impressed by the important stuff. Worst night of my life, Sokka thought, blood running cold as Katara cried like her heart was breaking. And Hama just stood there and laughed. Given his nights now included getting his butt almost sliced off by a cranky ghost on a regular basis, that was saying something. But Timul just tried her damnedest to almost kill him. What Hama had made them do, made Katara do. Right now, all his nerves were in shake until I realize I'm still alive mode. When it wore off, I hate that woman. I really, really hate her. It was hard and it hurt. Hate the Sea Raiders who'd killed their mother? Easy. They were Fire Nation and they'd come to kill any waterbender they could find. Hating them was like breathing. You just did it. Hate someone from his own tribe? It was like tearing his heart out. Aang was trying to hug Katara as much as she'd let him. Good. Somebody ought to keep telling her she wasn't a monster. Right now he... Oh, spirits. She's still laughing. And it was weird, because Sokka would have thought he'd be getting madder, but he wasn't. He just felt... cold. Sooner or later, Aang's gonna snap back to Earth with the rest of us, and then he's going to get mad. The last time anyone had done anything this horrible to Katara, General Fong had lost big chunks of his fortress. Hama didn't have a fortress, but the moon was still up, and... Hama doesn't know Aang's a waterbender. If she did, if she realized her sick little game wasn't done yet...
He had to be quick, and he had to be subtle. If Hama saw him coming, it'd be skewering time all over again. Yeah, he knew what he had to do. Now, to get his feet to move and do it. Dad would do it. He's the chief. Sometimes you can't wait for the tribe to decide. And we know the Fire Nation can't hold her. Dad would do it. Come on. Move. Sokka, look out! Toph heading for them at a dead run. A whole bunch of angry ex-prisoners were running or staggering after her, chains and other improvised weapons in hand. But right behind Toph, Hama snarled, and Sokka knew what she saw. Even under moonlight, gold sea silk didn't look like anything else. Firebender! Gray eyes gleaming, Hama raised a withered hand. Don't talk in a fight. Piandao and Temul had hammered it into him day and night. Fighting in war wasn't Water Tribe fighting. There was no honor in it. No glorious story songs later of how you taunted your enemy and left him bruised and bleeding on the ice to lick his wounds and feel shamed. There was only you and the people who were going to be dead. Never talk in a fight. Talking means you're thinking. Thinking means you're reacting. You need to act. The man behind the blade is going to kill you. He'll kill you, your friends, your dreams. Don't talk, don't think. Kill him first. Hama had thought. Hama had reacted, all in the space of one breath. Shidan had moved. Hama twisted away from the gleaming of moonlight on steel. Blood, a dark line down one arm. The sweep of hand she'd meant to swat Shidan to the ground was disrupted, turned into a clenched fist to hold. Wheeling from a rising slash, Shidan froze. Steel? And where's a firebender's pride? Hama sidestepped away, fist still clenched. You should have seared me.
Throw fire against one who can twist a man's movements awry. In a forest, your battle has stripped of water.
Shidan gritted out, unmoving.
Oh, yes. Because a crown of fire at the hour of ghosts is such a gracious gift to those who've survived your hate.
Which didn't ring right, Sokka thought, desperately trying to inch out of Hama's line of sight. He'd seen Zhangzhan light fire on water. Shidan could have burned his enemy down without scorching the forest. Dragons don't kill with fire, Temul's gift whispered to him. Not if they have any other way. They use claws. And they go for the throat. Darkness on dark clothing. Not from Hama's arm. Which meant... didn't mean anything while she was still trying to kill them, Sokka knew. Glancing frantically around the clearing for anything that might tip the odds their way. And coming up empty. Hama kept both swordsmen in view. Her open back turned to Aang and Katara like two benders were no threat at all. And damn it, they weren't. Katara was still kneeling, tears slipping down her face, and Aang was holding onto her like a lifeline, pale as a sick fish. And the worst of it was, he couldn't blame them. He couldn't. Katara thought water was the most blessed, noble element, and Aang thought nobody could make you do anything. The fact that somebody like Hama even existed meant they were wrong. Hissing, Hama started to drag her clenched fist down. It wouldn't move. Shidan wasn't moving. All that lives bends with water, Hama snapped. Bow, lordling. Know you are beaten at last.
By such as you? Never.
Sweat beaded the old dragon's face, but his teeth gleamed sharp and bright.
I am Agni's child. The blood in my veins is fire. Bend me to your will. You'll bend a bonfire first.
Your blood, perhaps, Hama sneered. Cackling, she slashed her bloodied hand outward, water flowing off the ground into a flurry of ice daggers. Toph! Sokka yelled. Wall! Hama's invisible hand clamped on his veins, and he wanted to swear or scream. But Earth grated on Earth as Toph trusted him and flung up barriers against the attack she couldn't see. Ice whined into soil, thudding in a way that shivered up his spine. Gleaming like poisoned diamonds, it sawed down. Toph might not be able to see water in air, but she could feel her defensive shell ripping apart. The earthbender skipped a step sideways, clapped her hands together. Soil clamped around Hama, mounded to her neck. Got her. Sokka drew in a breath of relief as his arms and legs worked to his own will again. Now, what do we do? Earth powdered into dust on the wind and blew away. Oh, hell no. Hama walked straight out of scattering dust, arms and hands wreathed in thick bands of water. Water is everywhere, little earthbender, even in the breath of a flame. Ice needles everywhere. Sokka was moving before he'd figured out what he was moving for. Black metal shattering icy edges, leaving his hands and arms stung and slashed, sweeping red in the firelight. But only slashes, while trees beside him glittered with needles thick as porcupine quills. Firelight, a shielding globe of flame like Azula's, sizzling ice to steam before it could impale Toph's hapless bunch of ex-prisoners. But some of the ice cracked instead of melting. Hama's swirl of arms and body whipping shards around to stab unprotected skin. This time, nothing could explain the screams away. You have to stop this! Aang, running up to Hama like she hadn't played him like a puppet minutes before. Like he wasn't bleeding from a half dozen ice slashes too numb to hurt. I know you're angry. I know they hurt you, but this is... A torrent of ice swatted him away, like Gran-Gran tossing out spoiled squid. Wrong. Hama's smile froze Sokka's blood. To show my young apprentice just what a bloodbender can do. Watch, Katara. Our enemies give us weapons. Gnarled hands swept wide, pulled inward. There was a pulling at Sokka's skin, like an unseen leech had bitten down. Blood leapt from his cuts like iron dust to a lodestone, joining the red, swirling away from more screams, pulsing into a crimson globe between Hama's cracked palms as she laughed, laughed. Something rattled, and Hama tripped over air, staggered, eyes wide. Crumpled to the ground, crimson splashing over Aang's feet. Fire flickered, vanished. Shidan drew a hissing breath, looking down on the fallen bloodbender. Your death's name, he said quietly, hand on one hilt, is Haigiri. Flycutter. The last of the blood globe fell apart, gurgling into dry earth. Hama stared at them all, gasping for the breath to move, bend, live. Hateful, evil woman. Shidan's lip curled, a snarl of disgust. So bent on taking our blood, you forgot your own. Matted with blood, gray hair fell and didn't rise. No! Shuddering, Katara shot to her feet. No, she can't be... You couldn't have. Aang caught her. It's over. Gray eyes were wide as saucers. I just don't know how. Make sure. Nerving himself, Sokka tipped Hama's head to the side, exposing the razor-thin slash that had licked across the pulse of her throat. Shoulder to waist, Hama's dress was sodden with blood. Get the apprentice! Sokka didn't know which of the ragged survivors had yelled at and didn't care. He just put himself and his sword between Katara and the mob, hoping he wouldn't have to kill people they'd tried to save. Toph slapped palms against air and clawed her hands, a barrier of spikes sprouting in front of the rush. You stop that right now. Katara was trying to help you. If they got out of this alive, Sokka was never complaining about Toph scamming people again. One of the more wild-eyed men thrust an accusing finger Katara's way. That monster called you her apprentice. This child, her Sishya? Shidan snorted. Are you blind? One who needs to be taught, Sokka thought, which wasn't apprentice, not by a long shot. Though in a really weird way, it fit what Hama had been doing so scarily better. And damn it, Shidan had dragged in High Court, which might get him a better listen from scared strangers, but meant Katara and Aang would be totally clueless about what was really being said, if they decided to jump in. How was he going to argue their way out of this without cracking out his own High Court in front of everybody? Which was not going to go over well, no matter what he said. And the last thing they needed was an angry avatar or waterbender in this mess. Look at her, man. Shidan snarled on. Do those tears trace the flesh of one who wishes to follow evil into darkness? Show me a pupil more Sunya Surusha than she. Devoid of desire to hear or learn, Sokka knew. Deserted. Desolate. Damn, he could hug the old dragon. Shidan wasn't just saying she wasn't Hama's apprentice. He was defying the charge, defending her in the way these people would understand. That Katara saw evil and wanted no part of it. Sokka let out a shaky breath and nodded to catch Katara's eye, winked at her. For a second, she just stared at him, then straightened and moved closer to Aang, arms circling his shoulders. Yes, yes, exactly, Sokka almost grinned. He's a kid. You're older. You're responsible for him. You had to do what you had to do. They'll get that.
There is her brother, Shidan growled. There, her clan allies, who did risk themselves to save you. Who of us would not pick up even a poisoned blade to save our kin from evil? Who of us would not?
Aang almost made a noise. Sokka stomped his toes.
This girl was lied to, Shidan went on, voice heated enough to raise steam. This girl was deceived. This girl thought she dealt with an innocent woman, as we all thought. Who would believe another human capable of such malice? Who would ever?
Which pretty much turned everything Gran-Gran and the rest of the tribe's elders had said about the Fire Nation on its head. Sokka had to blink, disoriented. If he hadn't been flying around the world with Aang for months, meeting people from crazy but okay, like Aang and the Kyoshi Islanders, to outright crazy like Azula, I'd probably be running right at them screaming about evil Fire Nation, Sokka knew. Ouch. Aang and Toph weren't going to run screaming at anybody, for entirely different reasons. But Katara? She had to stop. Katara's fingers clutched her skirt. She had to stop. We don't do this.
Indeed not, Shidan said gravely. Your ways are hard, but you well know how to deal with evil when you find it.
He turned to the crowd. Not a mob, not now, with all those tired and hurt looks on gaunt faces.
Take the injured back to the village. Rouse the guard, after dawn, to clear that hellhole's depths. After dawn. We may all need its safety.
He glanced at the body, then at Aang.
These young ones know the ways our foe abandoned. And this young gentleman has some of a sage's training. We shall see to it no water ghost stalks by moonlight.
Aang gulped.
I'm not really good with all the shaman stuff yet.
Which is why you will not act alone, Shidan stated. We will manage.
He granted Aang a nod, then bowed to the crowd.
Journey safely and see the dawn.
A scattered flurry of bows came in return, and the crowd started filtering away. Sokka closed his eyes, just for a moment, and sagged in relief. And he hadn't had to hurt anybody they'd tried to save. There were no words for that desperate relief. Toph's knuckles jabbed his ribs.
Don't fall asleep on us now, Snoozles.
Sleep? Sokka shuddered, glanced at the blackness soaking the forest floor. That in daylight would show drying crimson.
I never want to sleep again.
How could she do this? Katara shivered. I don't understand. Even if someone's just evil, how could she? Monk Gyatso told me a story once. Aang wouldn't quite look at the body. It wasn't something the elders liked us kids hearing, but he said that the wind was our friend. But once in a while, in a really long time, there was a dark wind that could blow through people. And if we thought we felt it, we should get away from that person until it blew away.
Your master was a wise man, Shidan nodded. Hama, she was never a kind woman, but she suffered more than any soul should have to bear.
He held out a hand.
Come, let us bear your dead to the sea. And I will tell you of why.